You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome, 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 welcome to our show. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. We are going to have a wonderful visit about how to homeschool. Right. Totally practical and totally applicable. How to homeschool. And that's all because of this remarkable and fantastic guest we have today. Would you please be so kind as to introduce yourself to us, please?
Hello, my name is India. I am the Homeschool Life Coach and the founder of the Homeschool Network and eLearning Institute.
I am really glad you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, around here we call it the get off the couch step. That if we give you a lot of information and we don't give you practical how-to steps, then all we've done is talk. And sometimes that's fine. But in something as important as this, we've got to know how to do it. So please give us your wisdom. How to homeschool.
All right. Well, I think for here in any state, one of the first things that's important to know is your state laws. So you want to know what's required of you, how do you meet the requirements of your governing body so that you can then focus on the creativity that you can embed in your homeschool. So, one of the resources I always send people to is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association website.
Okay.
And therefore, any state, you can click on it, and it gives you really useful information about how you can homeschool. And again, this is the basic information so that you are meeting those requirements in your area. And you don't have to worry about not getting things correct. And then once you take care of those steps, then I actually have a whole process that I work with families on helping them to create their homeschool. So that they're successful. Mm-hmm. But today we are focusing on really how to homeschool in terms of how to get started.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So one of the things that I would really want to share is that in Ohio, like, it is a great time to be a homeschooler.
Wow.
Because we've had a change in our laws.
Okay.
Yes. And so with this change in our laws, mm-hmm. it's much easier for families to homeschool. There's less requirements. So from my perspective, you know, they're increasing that freedom that we as parents, you know, have a right to when we're homeschooling our children. And I was actually just talking to a mom recently who didn't know that she's now eligible to homeschool.
Oh.
So, yeah. So if I could just take a moment just to go over some of the changes that have taken place so that people, specifically people here in Ohio, understand. So the first thing that I wanted to share is that in Ohio, we now submit what's called a notice of exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, it's just letting the school district know that your child is exempt from compulsory school attendance. Mm-hmm. So they won't be there. They will be at home. And in this notice, you want to make sure that you include a few things, and it's, again, much simpler than it used to be. So those few things would be the parent name, the child name, and an assurance statement that you as the homeschool parent will teach the required subject. In addition to that, you want to make sure that you send this notice of exemption in before the August 30th notification deadline. And I always recommend, because more seasoned homeschoolers than I, when I began, recommended that I always send in return receipt, which means you pay for that little green card. So once they receive it, they'll sign it, send it back to you. And then it's kind of like your proof that you mailed it in, although you really don't need proof. Once you've sent it in, you're done. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you have a copy of that for yourself. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, our new requirement for people who are taking option one for homeschooling, you only have to teach, let's see, 6 subjects. So you are required to teach English language arts, mathematics, science, history, government, and social studies.
Wow.
And I know, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that is like the major thing for parents to know is there are no teacher qualifications in Ohio anymore.
Oh.
So the mom that I was speaking with, she didn't graduate high school, and she was concerned that because she didn't graduate high school, her daughter was having significant trouble in the middle school, and she wanted to bring her home, but she didn't feel like she didn't know that she was allowed. And I sent her the link to show her the new qualifications, let her know that she is eligible to homeschool. And now she's looking at how she can homeschool for the next semester. So her daughter doesn't have to be subject to, actually, it's really some severe bullying she's experiencing in school.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she shared, and I'd like to discuss that here, too, if it's okay.
Sure.
Because it says there are no teacher qualifications, and that means that anyone in Ohio can homeschool their child, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be the one doing the teaching.
Oh, okay.
Because I've experienced parents who don't feel like they're qualified to teach certain subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And some might say, well, someone without a high school diploma, they're not qualified, which mm-hmm. I absolutely do not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm speaking to the parent that feels insecure or feels like they're not enough to homeschool their child. If that is you, one, there are a number of online resources. One that I use in my family that I know other families that lots of families use across the nation, actually across the world, is Easy Peasy Online Homeschool.
Oh, yes, right, and it's free, too.
It is absolutely free, and it goes through high school, and they have started putting some college courses on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing, and if you want to do completely online, you can. If you want to do the book work, you can. So you don't have to, some people don't like their children to be on the computer all the time, and I understand that as well. So you can actually print the things off and have it ready for you and your child. You can also purchase the book. You can get them on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of other resources. You can register your children for activities or have other people teach your child. You can be a part of co-ops where there are other homeschool parents that can teach. I just want parents to know if you don't feel like you can, it's all right. There are people out there that can help you. You don't have to send your children to a school environment that you know is not safe for them. Right. So one of the other things that I think is just pretty amazing is that there used to be a requirement of the number of hours you had to school during the day. We no longer have that requirement. So it is.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh,
it is
wow.
True. Yeah, it is truly up to the parent and that family to decide the number of hours or the time that is needed to educate their children in their home. So they can put that plan together, and they can work the plan that is best for them, not trying to meet someone else's standard. So I love that freedom. In addition to that, in Ohio, they used to have an assessment requirement, but there is no longer a requirement to get assessments for your children.
Wow.
And what I experienced previously was parents were frantically trying to find a teacher to do an assessment so that they could send that in to the district so they would know that their child is making progress. Well, now we have the freedom to decide if our children are making progress. We don't have to show proof or prove it to anyone else. We know because we work with our children every day the progress they're making. And so that frees parents from that requirement as well. And I definitely think that's in the benefit of the homeschool, because you don't want stressed parents trying to figure out how to put all these things together and being under someone else's decision about whether or not their child is making the progress necessary for that specific child. We know our kids the best, so it is really, I truly believe, up to the parents to be able to make those decisions. And so now we have that freedom.
Wow. I mean, this is really fascinating. I mean, this is a big change, right?
These are significant changes. And it opens up the doors for, I believe, many families that wanted to but were concerned with some of the restrictions. And, you know, there's been numbers of working parents that I've talked to who don't feel like they have the hours in a day to meet that 900-hour requirement, and it's even it's over that for high school students. And so now they don't have to feel like they can't homeschool. You can work and you can homeschool and you can meet the needs of your child. And it's specific to what your child's learning goals are, what you all have decided your child is going to do in that school year. And so again, that opens up the door of opportunity to so many families.
Right. And okay, so we send in this notice of extension, right? And you get the return receipt. Is that it? Is that all? Are you legal?
Yes. If you're homeschooling under the option one, then yes, you are legal. That is all you are required to do. Then you get started homeschooling. And I just also want to speak to this piece. There have been homeschoolers who have not received that return receipt back, and they've been concerned, does that make me legal? Once you've mailed it out, you're legal. You've made the notification to the school system, so then you are legal and you can homeschool. Now, there are some people that feel like they want to check. That's up to you. It's really not required, though, because you have proof of you sending in the information that is required, and that's all that you need to have in your possession is that proof.
It actually seems really encouraging. Like right now, I feel like a lot of obstacles and a lot of hindrances that might have kept people from even dreaming of this might be removed, right?
That is absolutely correct. And it is such an exciting time, I believe. And it's such a privilege to be able to be here and speak to this so that those who aren't aware are made aware. And if you know someone who's interested in homeschooling, they're like, well, before I wasn't able to, let them know that the laws have changed. You know, that now there's more opportunity for people who are wanting to bring their children home and wanting to educate them in the home environment. And there is one other thing I wanted to say, because I'm in some Facebook groups, and one of them that I'm in is the 08 school option.
Okay.
So I wanted to speak to the 08 school option. And the 08 school option in Ohio is essentially the homeschool family creating their own private school.
Oh, tell us more. This is exciting.
Yes. So with the 08 school, I just wanted to share that there have not been really any changes there, except that it's now my understanding being written into law. So with the 08 option, you are a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school. And we have been in our home a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school for, I guess, since we began. And that means that we still have specific requirements because we are considered a private school.
Okay.
So the same requirements we had last time are the same before these changes were made for the traditional homeschooling option. We are still bound by our requirements, same as before. And that means we are required to do the 900 hours. We are required to send a notice to the parents, to the, it's really supposed to be the treasurer, but here it ends up being the superintendent in my area. We are required to teach all the same subjects we were required before, which include the art, the music, physical education, was that safety? We are required to still do all of those. And there was question about whether or not people who are already 08 homeschoolers would switch to the other option. And some people that I know have switched. But for us, I think we are content with being an 08 school. And we get to decide, and now so do the other option, the first option. But we also decide when it's time for our students to move on to the next grade, when it's time for them to graduate. And that used to be a benefit afforded to just us, but now it's all homeschoolers in Ohio. So that's really wonderful. But I just wanted to make it clear that there is a distinction between the two forms of homeschooling in Ohio. And if you do decide to be an 08 homeschooler, you are required to keep to the same standards that we had prior.
I really appreciate you making that so clear. I would love to know, is there an advantage, though? Like, if you're just starting out today, is there an advantage to taking that option still as opposed to the new laws?
Well, from my perspective, there is a little statement, a little wording that I personally found a little I found it a little bit confusing and put me on guard a little bit. So if there should be at some point, if you're doing, I think it's the 01 option, let me make sure that's right, the original, the first option to homeschool, you do, and I don't know what their specific requirements would be, but there could be a case, and I believe it's minimal, as I've had it explained to me, there's a minimal possibility that if someone were to find you not adhering to the rules and teaching your children what you should be teaching them, and, you know, they would consider them to be truant. And I understand that it's just some minor wording that was brought to my attention. And because of that wording, I decided that I will retain my rights as a private school. And even though we have they have all the new freedoms, I just don't want someone to misconstrue what I'm doing with my kids and then decide that they want to take a look at what we're doing and then decide that what we're doing is not enough or that my kids shouldn't be able to go to the store in the middle of the day. You know what I mean? So I decided to stick with the 08, and that's the only reason that I retained that option for our family.
Well, I mean, this is very important to have an expert like yourself because field trips, for example, days out, you know, shadowing other people and learning about what they do, those are all the parts that enrich homeschooling, right? Not just sitting around the kitchen table reading your curriculum. And so it could be perceived by someone on the outside, you know, as not standard or traditional education if they don't understand. So it's really important to talk to you about this. So with the option that you chose, how did you become a private school? What steps did you take to become your own private school?
A very good question. So, again, a homeschooler, much more seasoned than me. She graduated, I think, like two of her daughters at the time, and she is the one that taught me in my homeschool co-op about the 08 school. And basically what she shared and what I still do today and have not had any problems is you have to submit three pieces of information. So you have to submit the name of your child, your name, their date of birth. I don't believe their date of birth, sorry about that, and the address. So they need to know the child's name, the address, and their age. That's it, their age, not their date of birth. And so then you submit that. You also have to submit a letter to your parents. Now, there's an option that someone else could send that letter, but I tend to just send the letter to my parents myself. And in the letter states that you are meeting all of the requirements, that you are adhering to the safety, that you understand that you have to do the 900 hours, that you understand you have to teach, I think it's like 9 subjects, that you understand that you are not going to be getting any kind of money or any kind of assistance through the school system, like there's no transportation or anything like that. And you sign it, you send it to them, to the parent, to the actual parent, which would be me. and then you have to also send in information. This is three things to a Board of Education, and then you have to make sure that your treasurer gets it. So there's three people you send it to: the district, which is your treasurer, the Board of Education, and then you send just the letter to the parent that says these are the things, these are the requirements, and we meet all of them. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I include that letter is because there are some homeschoolers that homeschool other people's children that are not in their home. Yes. Now, you are allowed up to, I believe it's 6 children that you can homeschool in your private OAH school before you then have to go through the, I think it's like a fire inspection in your home to make sure that you're meeting all of those requirements. Mm-hmm. So I include that letter because that letter is important, because there's, there's a lot of people that do that, that have other people outside of their home that they homeschool. And if they're in an OAH school, that letter is required to send to the parent. You also include that letter, and you include the child's name, address, and their age, and you send that to the Board of Education. So you just got to make sure that everybody gets their piece. You make sure that the school district, which for me, supposed to be the treasurer, ends up being our superintendent, gets that information so that they know that your child will not be in attendance at their school. Mm-hmm. And again, I send all of those return receipt as well. So I make sure I get my green card. But if I don't get my green card, I've retained copies of everything that I sent in, so I don't have to worry about if I'm meeting the state requirement, because I am. Once I mailed it off, I've met my requirement.
Okay. This is really interesting and very important. And can you just have this school option if you just have your own child? If you just have one child, or maybe you have two children of your own, can you still become a private school?
Yes, you are a private school as long as the person that is teaching has a bachelor's degree.
Of course, yes, okay.
Yes, so you're a person, and that is a really important requirement, because to be in a school, you do have to have a degree.
Right, okay.
And I believe that that's why some people will send their children to other people's homeschools, and that homeschool is an OAH.
Well, I mean, this makes a lot of sense when you explain it, but I can see why it would be daunting, right? Someone has the right heart, they're enthusiastic, they feel the Lord's leading them to do this, and then they walk into this kind of work by themselves. It could be very intimidating, right?
It can, and I really... One of the things that I also wanted to say for people who have decided, or they're still on the fence about deciding to homeschool, is that I believe homeschooling should take place in community.
Oh, right.
And
yes.
Mm-hmm. Without the community, it can be very isolating, not just for the children, but also for the parent, for the homeschool mom or dad, grandparent, whoever it is doing the homeschooling. So I encourage families to join other homeschooling groups to get involved in, sports and engage in other hobbies, to do the field trips, as you've stated, to join co-ops. And I know for some people, they're like, a co-op is so much responsibility. I think it really does depend on what kind of homeschool community you decide to join, because there are some that do require you to teach classes and to be there from certain times. And some people feel like, I just want to do field trips. I don't want to teach class, and I don't want to have to, sit there all day. Well, then I would encourage you to find a group that just does field trips, and then that they welcome people to come in. Like this school year, because my boys are getting older, we joined a Columbus Tweens group.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's tweens and teens. I found them on Facebook, and we go to field trips with them. And it's really nice, because one thing you will find in the homeschool community is there's a plethora of activities and goings-on for little children. But once they get into the teens and the high school years, those opportunities get fewer and farther, in between, so you really have to be looking for it. And when I came across this group, I was so excited. And we had an opportunity to go on a field trip to, we actually learned about the minerals and the geology of Ohio. And I learned so much stuff I hadn't even known myself. And my one son, he's really into rocks and things. So it was so nice to actually get to learn this information and for my kids to see that there are children, you know, after a while you kind of feel like it's only little kids to homeschool. No, there are a lot of older children that are homeschooled and a lot of high schoolers. So it was very nice for that. And so I encourage families just to make sure that if you do decide to homeschool or you are homeschooling, reach out and find your community, find your tribe, mm-hmm. find those people that can support you along that homeschool journey. Because it's so important, because you'll at times may find where, you know, you're in a season where things are kind of difficult mm-hmm. for whatever reason. But when you can do this together with other homeschoolers and you have other moms that you can sit and chat with, it takes that burden away. And that is how, when I was becoming a homeschooler, that's how we found out all the information we needed was mm-hmm. from more seasoned homeschoolers.
Thank you so much for making that important point. That community is very precious and very important. And, you know, if you were going to, most of us who care a lot about our children's education or want them to have the best experience possible, if we were sending them to school, we'd be super involved parents, right? I mean,
right.
If we were doing this a different way, we'd still want to be involved. So I don't want anyone to ever let co-op or community or clubs or any of those extra things feel scary. You know, like, oh, no, we're going to have so much to do. Well, you'd be doing a lot anyway.
That's right.
A lot. So, you know, might as well do it in the best interest of your child and with a wonderful supportive community, too.
That's right. Yes. And I haven't found a community more supportive than the homeschool community.
Yeah.
Now, it may take you a try or two to find the one that fits for you and your child, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because I always say that the homeschool mom, she is just as important to the success of that homeschool as the children and the books, work, and the activities that they do. So if you're finding groups that you don't feel like one or the other fit, just keep looking, because there's so many out there. And I think sometimes we look just in our immediate area. Maybe you might have to go, you know, 15 minutes from where you live to find a group that fits you. Uh-huh. So when we were looking, we ended up like 30 minutes from our home, but we found a group that fit, that it worked for me, worked for the kids. And so that to me is a success. I think everyone has to feel like they belong and to just focus on whether the children feel like they belong and sacrifice the happiness of the mom. It doesn't make for happy homeschooling. So I always encourage people to find something that works for both of them.
Oh, that's such an important point. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, my granddaddy used to say steps and seasons. Like, you'd be telling him something and he'd say steps and seasons. And so sometimes we have to take steps like you did and go farther away from our comfort zone or our location to find the right thing. And then sometimes seasons change. This co-op
That's
might have
right.
been wonderful when you had preschoolers,
mm-hmm.
but maybe
mm-hmm.
you know, your teens need a different co-op or different
mm-hmm.
activities or different clubs. And so it's a really amazing opportunity for everyone to grow together, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of how I believe my work kind of developed
mm.
and why I became involved in the homeschool community, trying to make sure that people could get the support and the encouragement, they could get the knowledge and hear some of the experiences of a homeschooler that's been doing this for over a decade. So then what I hope to do with all the work that I do as a homeschool mom life coach and with the Homeschool Moms Network is help people find, you know, those places where they need, I feel like a little happy. And I do use the word happy a lot because I believe it's an important part of living. And I know that when you're working as a homeschool mom and you're down in the trenches, sometimes we forget about our own happy. And sometimes when we're, you know, trying to figure out what curriculum to use or what activities to go to or what field trips we need to do, we forget sometimes what the meaning of why we started what this homeschool journey. And so one of the things, you know, and this is the time of year, if I might just share this with you, this is the time of year where homeschoolers are looking at their homeschools. We're about to end our first semester or the first half of our school year for some of us, and we're trying to wrap it up. People will be celebrating the holidays, and we're going to look at what do we want to do for next year in our homeschool. And so what we're offering to the Homeschool Moms Network, we're offering a homeschool edit workshop. And what we're going to be doing in this workshop is a free 3-day workshop, and we're going to be working with moms to re-energize their homeschool. So we've got these different areas that we're going to be looking at, and we're going to be giving them a shot of information, getting information from them that they can help to create the homeschool that they really want to have or start the homeschool that they want. So if they're finding that they're homeschooling and it's not working, there's different pieces and parts that don't seem to be fitting together, then we're going to look at it in our homeschool workshop edit that's coming up on December 8th at 3 p.m., December 9th at 3 p.m., and December 10th at 3 p.m. So we'll be meeting those 3 days. I don't keep people long. I know I do enjoy speaking. I do enjoy talking. I love homeschooling.
Yeah.
But each day we have a specific focus, and we'll go over it, and we would just like to invite as many homeschoolers as possible to join us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would go to the Homeschool Mom Life Coach website, which is homeschoolmomlifecoach.com, and then on that home screen, you just select the Homeschool Moms Network tab.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And under the Homeschool Moms Network tab, you'll see the Homeschool Edit Workshop. And so just go ahead and register there, and we'll see everybody. They'll be getting their confirmation information, which will give them information regarding the Zoom link we'll be using to put this workshop on. And which our goal really is just help moms who are looking at it and just figuring out, like, something didn't work. I'm not exactly where it, what it is. You know, I don't know exactly what didn't work. But we're going to all look at what are the things we need for a successful homeschool. And then, if there are any particularly brave homeschool moms, there's going to be a portion set aside each day where we will, as a group, homeschool edit someone's homeschool. So if they want to, and I, if no one wants to volunteer, I'll be the first one on day one.
Mm.
And basically what that means is we'll take the camera, we'll look at our homeschool, and we'll say, hey, guys, you know, this, are you a part of those Facebook groups where they, where it's called, it's just, the homeschool room, the decorations, all of that. Are you a part of one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of the things that I love most is homeschool rooms. So we're going to take some time, and not only are we going to edit the meat of our homeschool, we're also going to edit the environment of our homeschool. And so in that, it, on the day one, two, and three, we'll save the last half of the workshop where we'll show our homeschool room, and the moms are like, you know what, what do you guys think about my setup? I'm wanting this over here. I'm wanting maybe us to be able to gather over here, but I can't figure out how to get it all working. And as a group, we'll give them advice, and we'll give them tips and tricks that we use in our homeschool environment that can help them homeschool at least to the level they want to homeschool at, right?
Right.
And so we'll have different homeschool environments. There'll be some people that are in their dining room. Some people will have a room set aside. Some people will be using just a cart, and they'll ask for advice on how to get all that information they want to share with their kids on their cart. So I'm really excited about this homeschool edit workshop because it's going to address not only the necessary things we need to have,
yes,
but also the things that make our homeschools beautiful and make them a creative environment, yes, for the homeschool mom and for the children. So I'd love for everyone to join us on December 8th, 9th, and 10th at 3 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time.
Well, that's just wonderful. As we go to commercial and pay a few bills, all of you can go register for this amazing workshop. And depending on when you hear this, you can also sign up for the Homeschool Moms Network on social media, and you can follow this dynamic speaker. And when we come back, we're going to answer some of your questions. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are 3
voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hear the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray her. They pray her and never look back once a war.
We are so blessed to have such a wise and gracious and generous guest with us today. Truly grateful. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is India Keith. I am the Homeschool Mom Life Coach and the founder of the Homeschool Moms Network and the Inc. Learning Institute Co.
Awesome. Now, how can folks connect with you, follow you, hire you to help them on their journey?
Yes. Well, one of the ways is to email me or to, you know, go take a look at both of the websites. We have the Inc. Learning Institute Co. And that is where I do offerings, I do curriculum, courses, we have activities for homeschool children. And right now we're focusing on preschool up through, I'd say, about 12. So my email is india@inclearninginstituteco.com. So you can reach out to me there. And if you have any interest in some of the offerings we have coming up in the winter semester, I'd like to share a few of those if that's okay.
Please, of course, yes.
Okay, so we will be starting our Inc. preschool. It's really kindergarten preparation.
Awesome.
For children. Yeah, I'm so excited for this. For children 3 to 5, and that will be starting in January. So we'll have offerings for 2 to 5 days a week. Now, we are in a location in Bexley. That's 2700 East Main Street, Suite 109.
Okay.
So that's where we'll be for the preschool. In addition to that, we'll be having some online classes for children who are, I consider them elementary age. So from kindergarten through sixth grade.
That's great.
Yeah, so we're so excited about those as well. So that's what we're doing with the Inc. Learning Institute, and you can send me an email. We're also on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and I'll be the first to admit, I am not a social media person. I'm really not, but I do get out there. But if any time you're looking for some classes or offerings, just email me at india@inclearninginstituteco.com. And then with Homeschool Moms Network, we have a Facebook group. You can join us there. We are doing that three-day workshop coming up December 8th, 9th, and 10th at 3 p.m. You can go to the website, homeschoolmomlifecoach.com, and register. And then you can also find me on social media as the Homeschool Mom Life Coach. So Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all of the above. Again, building up my social media muscles, because it's not something that comes naturally to me. But I understand that in order for people to know that there's these opportunities available, I need to be on social media. So that's what we're working on right now, and that's how people can keep up with what we're doing. Find us.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I love social media, and I've been a social media manager for a lot of companies, and I just think it's wonderful that you are coming out of your comfort zone and really building up that presence, because for so many people, that's the light in the darkness, right? They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to go. Maybe they don't even know homeschooling is an option. And sometimes they see you and your post, and you're shining a light. Over here. Look over here. Here's some hope. So this is wonderful. I think this is marvelous that you're doing this. I want to ask about your online classes, K through 6, because we are seeing homeschooling being the fastest growing means of education in the country right now. And there are many people who are exposed to homeschooling because of the pandemic and things like that for the first time, and they realize it's not just a fringe thing to do, but it's actually a thing that encourages and builds up and celebrates who their child is as a person, a unique person. So these online classes, what kind of classes will you be offering for the children?
Right. So we just finished up our homeschool roundup, our very first session of it in the fall.
Yay!
It was wonderful. Now, that was in person, and it was really fun. We had a lot of kids, but we were confined by space. So we found that once we got like 12 kids in a room, it was pretty crowded.
Yes.
Yeah, really. So what I really believe it was the Lord that shared this with me, that to reach the other children out there that can't fit in my room, in my tiny room that I had available, that I need to go online with it.
Wow.
So our homeschool roundup for the winter session will be online. So we'll be teaching, we'll be wrapping up, and anyone can join in, zoology, and that is for elementary age. We have beginner ASL for elementary age, and I'll be actually have a teacher who will be teaching home economics.
Oh, how exciting!
I know, love, and it's something that, you know, I'm like, that's really not my strong suit.
Yeah.
So I gotta find someone else with more experience and knowledge of that than me. And she's wonderful. So she'll be teaching home economics. We also have entrepreneurship. So we'll be teaching an entrepreneur.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And then we have a lovely retired teacher. I'm still working on her availability, but she has agreed. She says yes. But she will be teaching us Hebrew in January.
Oh, my. That's fabulous.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And as we grow and we find out the courses and things that people are interested in,
sure.
Then we'll be looking to build up the online offering. But right now we did the fall was one day a week. So we're going to keep with one day a week in the winter as well.
Uh-huh.
So people will be able to join us online. And it'll actually be more of a hybrid. That makes sense. Uh-huh. So we'll have people in the classroom in our small space, and then we'll have the class actually live streaming. That makes sense. You know what I'm
saying? Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. See, this is all new to me, but you guys get it. Okay. So we'll be live streaming so that those people who have registered will be a part of the class, but they'll be online. So it'll be available to as many children as want to register and who are interested in those topics.
I'm so excited by this because most of my career, I taught at the university level. And so for university courses, we did this. We had learners of all kinds of things that would just be on video or hybrid. You know, they would pay attention through electronics and technology. And it made the world so much bigger for so many, many people. You know, the mountains of North Carolina, that's my home. And so it made the world so much bigger. We could have conversations with people in other countries and all kinds of places we couldn't necessarily be, but they could be part of the class. We would be teaching in the classroom with our students. They would be there virtually, and we'd all learn so much from one another. This is wonderful what you're doing. Love it. It's just so innovative. And I think the beautiful thing about you, too, is you're gracious and kind and generous with your information. And so I see you as a person that opens doors in education. You welcome people in to your educational community. Instead of trying to say, this is only for certain people and it's elite and just go away. You're looking for more people. How can I reach more people? How can I touch more homes and more lives and more families? And I think when you have a generous heart like yours, you'll always be rewarded.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so wonderful to hear. I do try as much as possible to make sure that as many people as want to homeschool know that they can, and there's ways that they can do it, and they don't have to do it alone. But sometimes I'm not sure if that comes clearly through my messaging, so I appreciate you for sharing that.
Oh, absolutely. I have a couple of questions for you that people ask me to ask you. So
okay.
I want to share these with you and just get your opinion. The first one is, what is an umbrella school, and do I need one?
Yes. In Ohio, we do not need umbrella schools.
Okay.
Now, umbrella schools is other states, and I'm not sure which of them because I've never used an umbrella school, but I've followed other people like on YouTube, and then I've taught, my children have taken an art class with a homeschool mom who had her family in an umbrella school.
Uh-huh.
And basically for some of those families, depending on the state you're in, it means that you register with them, and then they can do certain things like provide you requirements that you need to meet, and you can fulfill those requirements through that umbrella school, or they can just be like a governing body that kind of like we report to our state. They can be a governing body that helps you meet the requirements, whether it's you take classes, your kids go there a couple of days a week, or they provide you curriculum, or they provide you computers. Some of them I've even seen provide money to families to homeschool. But again, that is not in the state of Ohio. We don't have umbrella schools, and they are not necessary for us to homeschool.
Okay. All right. That's very helpful. The next question I have for you, this is an interesting question, and I'm really very fascinated to hear what you'll say. I want my children to go to college. Will they be able to go to college if they are homeschooled?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. And I'm speaking from talking to other parents because I, too, was like, I just want to make sure that I have my children prepared if they should choose to go. So here in Ohio, once you graduate your child from your homeschool, you are the person, the school is the entity that grants the high school diploma to your child. So your homeschool will do that. So just like your homeschool diploma is equal to any diploma that a child will get from going to any other public or private institution.
Mm, okay.
So you, right. And you and there are some co-ops that if you become a part of that co-op, they will help you with that process, and they will help you get your diploma so that it looks as official as possible, because I know that for some people that has been a problem for them. Is, you know, not being able to be like, I'm on my own. I don't know how to create my diploma. And there's actually online sites you can go to where you just order your diploma, you fill your child's name in, you fill your school's name in, and then you have your diploma for your child. And they use that just like everyone else uses their public diplomas to apply to college. Now, what I would recommend is you can actually find, I think, more often now in this day and age, colleges and universities that are specifically looking for homeschool children, because they find that homeschool children, they not only have learned book knowledge, but they know how to learn. They know how to do research, how to investigate, how to fill in blanks for themselves. And so they're looking for that kind of ability when they're trying to fill their new classes coming in. And if you go to, say your child has a specific interest and there's specific schools that they would need to go to, you can start doing research now to see what are the requirements for graduating students coming into that institution. Because then, and I use this word, you can reverse engineer the schooling for your child in your home school to make sure that you cover and that you have them take classes that meet the credit requirement, so that once they graduate and you have their diploma, that when you generate their transcript, it will show the classes they needed and the correct number of hours that they needed for that class. Does that make sense?
Very important. This is wonderful. The next question I have for you is a pretty great question because it's my question.
What
are an indigenous family, Muscogee, Echota, Native Hawaiian, and Maori? And it is absolutely important to us that our children be raised with our indigenous culture, language, and traditions. And that was one of the main reasons we decided to homeschool, was so that we could incorporate our cultures and traditions into our education, which, you know, in public school, of course, they wouldn't be. And so my question for you is, do you see that people with all kinds of culture, do you see homeschooling as a way that people can bring their own culture, whatever it may be, into their education?
Absolutely. And it's so funny you should say that, because I'm not sure, is it day, I think it's day one. Day one, one of the things that we do is look at those things that are important to the homeschool family. And we're looking specifically in our homeschool edit workshop as the person who is doing the homeschooling. Because one way to make sure that your homeschool fulfills the needs of the family is to make sure that you are integrating into your homeschool the things that are important to you. And those are opportunities that children who attend public and even other private institutions don't get. They don't get that passion that that parent has infused into their lifestyle. And you know, if you look at my website, you see, I also believe that homeschooling is not something we do. It is a lifestyle.
Yes.
So when you have the lifestyle of homeschooling for any person, regardless of what their passion is, you're going to talk about that thing at every point in your day. Right? It's not going to just be relegated to, we're doing book work from 8 to 10 a.m. No, that is going to be infused in the family. It's going to be infused in the coursework. It's going to be infused in the activities that you do. So I absolutely love that part about homeschooling. So, and that also means that no homeschool is going to look alike.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I personally believe it should not look alike. Because if it does, that means you've subscribed to somebody else's standard that wasn't what fit for specifically your family.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at what works for our family, what's important to our families, they're not the same across the board. And so when we get, I believe when we give that piece up, then we're missing one of the beauties of being a homeschool family and being able to teach about our passions, the things that are important to us culturally, that are important to us. You know, when I could say religiously, but I really...
Yeah, spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spiritually. That's the word I'm looking for, spiritually. Absolutely.
What a great answer. Thank you. Because our faith and what we believe is a very important part of why we're homeschooling as well. I have one more question for you, and this is from one of our interns, and I think this is a really great question. Is homeschooling a good idea for neurodivergent or autistic or special needs children as well?
Well, you know, I would say that homeschooling, in this again, in my humble opinion, would be the best option for children who are exceptional. And the reason for that is I don't believe there's anyone who loves a child more than their parent.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't anyone that knows a child better than their parent. And so when you're looking specifically at exceptional children, you really have to know that child so that you know how they can take the information or what information is of interest to them or how you can infuse in your homeschool the strategies and methods that are best for them to learn. You know, and, you know, I've met exceptional children across the board where you needed to do some really hands-on activities in order for this child to learn that sitting at a desk, the child is never going to succeed in that environment. We need to sometimes, as some of the students I've worked with, get down on the floor and manipulate some things in order for that learning to take place. And you're not going to have that opportunity most times. Now, there are some really nice schools out there that try to meet the needs, but in most public and private institutions, you're just not going to get that kind of individual attention to the learning needs and learning styles of exceptional children.
What a wonderful answer. Thank you. Because one of the things that's beautiful about being a parent is that there are no limits for you. Someone else
that's right.
may have a limit. What can we accomplish by 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon? And you're willing to work at it much longer and harder, and you're willing to make the sacrifice that maybe someone else doesn't have the time or the inclination, even if they have a great outlook and they love teaching and all, they can only do so much with the time that they're given. So thank you for answering that question. What do you want us to know about homeschooling that we don't already know, that you haven't already shared with us?
Well, a couple of things. I can literally talk about homeschooling all day, but I won't bore you with it. But I will say this, that I believe that there is no family that cannot homeschool. Mm-hmm. So that means that regardless of whatever situation you're in, there are ways that if you want to be the teacher, you want to be the educator, you want to be the one that is pouring this information into your children, you want to create the environment that you believe is most successful for your child, then it can be done. Mm. We have to be a little bit more creative about it, but hey, reach out to me. I will help you. I will sit down with you, work out a plan, figure out something so that you don't have to send your child back to school. The other thing is, and I think I've said a little bit about this, is I truly believe that homeschooling has to take into account the homeschool parent and that homeschool parent's happiness.
Yeah.
Because I've seen many unhappy homeschool moms quit homeschooling, send their kids back to school because they couldn't figure out how to be happy as a homeschooler.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have really, you know, devoted my time as a homeschool mom life coach to work with moms to help them figure out what are their dreams, what are their goals, what are the things that make them happy, and create a life for them while they're homeschooled that feeds their joy.
Yeah.
And it's when we forget that, when we overlook it or try to put it to the side because I'm sacrificing for my kids, to me, that's a big red flag, and those are the moms that I've seen be like, nope, I can't do it. I gotta stop. This is, you know, it's really too hard. I don't have support. Financially, it's not working. Mm-hmm. So I would say, don't give up. Reach out to someone in your community. Reach out to seasoned homeschool moms. Reach out to me, and we will help you figure out a way to make it work. And my last thing, if I could,
sure,
is to those parents who are like, okay, it's time to take my, I know that I have to have my children at home. I can't keep sending them back to this school.
Right.
I need to take them out. There is support for you as you transition your children to homeschooling.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working on right now a workshop. I have a checklist together, but I'm working on a workshop because I found that there are parents, and I've talked to, I don't know how many in fall semester who are like, I have to take my kid out. I really don't want my kid to keep going back to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Their concern is, but I don't know what to do with them when I pull them out.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So you can reach out again. India, the Homeschool Mom Life Coach, I am looking for this workshop that's coming out for helping, it's really 7 strategies to successfully transition to homeschool, and it's specifically for parents of school-age children who have been in the system, the public school system or private school,
mm-hmm.
but now they're bringing them back home, and it's so they can have a successful homeschool journey, and they don't get frustrated in the middle and give up.
I love it. Tell us one more time the contact information. So, folks, I want you to take that action step right now. You're listening. This is your sign. So tell us how you can contact you and begin this great journey, this adventure, not a sacrifice, but an adventure.
Venture. That's right. I love that wording. Yeah, so you can reach me at India at Inc. That's I-N-K, Learning Institute Co.com. You can also reach me on social media. Inc. Learning Institute, Homeschool Moms Network. You can join our Facebook group and you can ask me questions in there. You can also find me on other social medias, and you can go to homeschoolmomlifecoach.com and you can see what we have coming up for moms and also for homeschool moms. So,
wonderful.
Again, We're growing our resources. We just want to be available and support as many homeschoolers as we can.
I love it. I love this conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to help so many of us make our homes and our children happy and blessed and wise. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Blessings to everyone.
Oh, and to all of our friends who listen, we appreciate you. To everyone who makes this podcast possible, we appreciate you, and we are so thankful that we've all had this time together today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together again. Blessings.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back once the world forgave
you. You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.